We just did 40 minutes of talk off the air. Now I don't even feel like doing a show.
Okay, well, let's make it 11 minutes.
Hard to do. 12.
Let's do 12. I can do it.
All right. Well, it's 12. Starting now, go. Hello and welcome to episode 487 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
I said we'd do it fast, but that intro I did seemed to take a long time.
Yeah.
We should streamline that.
Okay, next time.
Two Hosers sup. That's how
I like it.
What is going on in Vancouver, Adam?
Same old, buddy. Not a whole lot of change.
I think today is Father's Day here.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not sure. It's different. They do it different here. But today, like, it's the 1st of May. No, today's Labor Day. Forget it. Forget what I was saying. May 1st is Labor Day in Europe. And then, so it's a holiday. All I know is today's a holiday. Holiday from what? I don't know. Because it's kind of business as usual, in that there's nothing going on.
Right.
But, yeah, it's a holiday. But the big winner, you know who the big winner is, like in the whole coronavirus thing?
Who?
Germany, or I guess everybody. I'm not sure how it works across Europe. But typically, because today's a holiday, on April the 30th in the evening, the kids generally go out and just terrorize the neighborhood, like... toilet TP in houses and shaving cream and vandalizing stuff. I don't know why. It's April 30th. Okay. Is the day.
It's the day to raise hell.
Yeah. No pranks this year.
Wow.
They social distanced the pranks. So it worked out. Nobody TP'd my grass.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, silver lining, I guess.
I'm not sure if that's sad. It's sad that were you outside like waiting for the TP that never came?
I had a hose and I was ready to yell, get off my lawn.
Okay.
So speaking of quarantine, how do I quarantine? This will come up later in the show, actually, but how do I quarantine my neighbor's dandelions from my yard?
That's an age-long question that I think everyone's been asking. Yeah.
Yeah. How about can we all, like my actual next door neighbor, like, but the neighbors on either side, one does not have grass. They just have like, you know, dirt and then like tons of plants. Like, so it's well kept. It's just, they don't have grass. It's just all like our grass, like our front yard used to be here, all plants and no fun. And, we tore that out and put grass down. And then our neighbor on the other side, he has a small bit of grass. And he is meticulous about plucking the dandelions out, as am I. I go out every morning with a little spade, and then I carve out the dandelions. I'm not a fan. Don't like them.
Okay.
Other neighbors are pretty laissez-faire with it. I don't know how to say laissez-faire in German. Laissez, okay. Like, what is it? Like, what is like laissez-faire means, like, sort of like fair is to do, right?
Yeah.
And what's laissez? Like, sort of. I know what it means. I just can't do the translation. I can't translate from one to the other.
I can't help you.
Awesome. Well, I wonder
the
what
the story was good, though. The story was great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amazon. You need dandelion killer. Don't get it. Don't get dandelion killer. Go do it yourself, darn it. But I wish my neighbors would, that's what I'm telling, I wish my neighbors would take care of their lawns. It's just a complete mess. They don't even cut the grass. So it's just like the dandelions, they dry out.
You're getting off topic. You were talking about Amazon and then you went back. You went back for a second round of dandelions.
I'm trying to explain why I'm choked at my neighbors.
Okay.
Hey, close the door.
Wow. I wasn't talking to you.
Okay.
That's how I talk to my kids. Really, yeah. They know better. They think we're just finishing up, though.
But we're just starting.
Mm-hmm. So Amazon, do not buy Roundup or whatever it is. Go pluck your dandelions by yourself. But whatever else you want to buy, buy it on Amazon. Click through our site. Help us out. I bought nothing this week, so no good stories.
I haven't bought anything either.
All right, then. Moving on.
Moving on.
I finally finished, my pantry shelves in the cellar.
Okay.
Are you excited?
Is there a picture?
Yeah. I put it in the, put it there. It
looked, Oh, there we go. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Done. I would have preferred something from IKEA.
Yeah, of course you would. You can climb up that if you want to.
You know that IKEA is Swedish for common sense, right?
Right. What is it? Is it really?
That's what they used to say in the commercial. So I don't,
I don't know. I don't know what that even means. We will not be buying furniture at IKEA anymore.
Oh, wow.
This, you could hit this thing with your car and it would, your car would be ruined. This thing would not, there'd not be a dent in it.
That's a great selling feature.
Yeah. I, if you actually hit this with your car, I'll be more impressed about how you got your car in my basement. but this is rock solid. It cost me a lot more money than I thought it would, though. It's a couple hundred bucks to do. But I guess, I don't know, what's plywood? Plywood can't be free, is it?
I don't know.
You don't know. You've never bought plywood in your life.
No, no.
Okay. All right. Point being, you know, finally got it done. Took a little while, many steps. A lot bigger than I thought it was. Probably bigger than I needed, looking at this. Because like, that's pretty jam full. We'll have to go buy more groceries now to fill that up. And that's our, you can see that, that's our hamster buying. They call it hamster buying here. Hamster kaufen. Like you, when you buy way too many things to just store them up.
Okay.
So as you can see, like nobody needs four dozen eggs just on tap. And there they are, right? Dead center. That's four dozen eggs there.
But wait, wait, wait. Your eggs don't get refrigerated?
No.
Never?
No.
Hmm.
No. First of all, it's, okay, like let's take a step back. That's not four dozen eggs. That's four tens. They come in tens here. They come in six or ten, which makes no sense to me. But here we are. And no, you do not refrigerate eggs in Europe.
Oh, okay.
First of all, there's a whole bunch of stuff in North America that you're not supposed to refrigerate, but we still do.
Okay.
You don't need to. Like it's for some reason, when I came here, I was like, wow, that's we were doing it wrong. Eggs are different. Eggs, I believe you have to, you should refrigerate in North America versus here. Oh my God, we're already get into the eggs thing.
No, let's not do it. Let's not do it.
One of them in Europe.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
In Europe, they treat they treat the chickens for the salmonella. In North America, they treat the eggs for salmonella, and that's the difference between refrigeration and not refrigeration.
Gotcha.
So it's not necessary here. We don't do it.
It's abundantly clear now.
There you go. So, anyways,
okay. My shelves
finally finished up. Thank you. I think in person you'd be a lot more impressed. Like this is just a snapshot in my basement, which was tough to do. So I did that. All I can say is that I was given the advice by a friend of ours, who is a shop teacher. He teaches woodwork in Vancouver. And so I basically text him 6 to 12 times every day. Hey, what about this? What about this? So he's probably had enough. He told me, yeah, I was like, man, do I need to buy a brad nailer? I didn't think I did. And he's like, yes, you got to buy a brad nailer and a compressor. And, I did. Specifically for doing like face frames like this. So if you're listening out there and you're thinking about, hey, should I buy a brad nailer? The answer is 1000% yes. It's the greatest thing I've ever bought.
Great.
Buy a brad nailer and a compressor. Oh my God, it's the best.
Said the guy hosting a photo podcast.
I don't even know if we're a photo podcast anymore. And then I finished that. I made that spice rack, by the way.
Okay, I see it.
Yeah, there you go.
It's beautiful.
It's fine. There you can see the brad nails, actually. So if you're gonna nitpick, I did brad nail that face frame on and then went and filled them in order to stain them, but the stain the filler took a different color from the stain than the rest of it, so you can sort of see them. So lesson learned. That's what this is all about, Adam. Learning lessons.
Great.
And moving forward. Okay. Oh, and today, this morning, I finally made a rolling stand for my miter saw. So it's been a big woodwork week for me.
Big week for you, yeah.
Yeah. I won't show a picture of that because you stopped caring.
Yeah.
What are the mask rules in Vancouver? Like, you guys are still technically quarantined, but stuff's moving? Are we opening? What are we doing?
I think that stuff is very soon going to start to open. Like, we have plans are coming out this week. Plans are... It's going to start moving. It's still been pretty quiet. Nothing much different from last week, except for the government starting to talk of the plans for how they're going to reopen things, the stages, the steps, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
People still wearing masks. If you go to the grocery
store... But you have to now. Groceries. Like, for in Germany, no, it's required.
Yeah, it's not the case. When you go to the grocery store, that's the only place where... If I go for a walk along the dike in Richmond to Gary Point, if I go there, maybe... You come across 10% of people wearing masks, like in an outdoor setting. Right. When you go to the grocery store, I'd say that goes to, I'm going to say 50%, somewhere in that range.
Okay. I understand that part, sort of, except for, like, from sort of and not really. Now, I was texting with a friend of mine who lives in Richmond, and he was saying, now, I have no way to back this up. Maybe you do. And he was saying that, yeah, there's been zero reported cases in Richmond.
I doubt that that's true.
Okay. Well, I'll give him what for then.
Sure. Yeah, I don't think that's true. I mean, yeah, there's no way that's true.
Okay. But you don't know. You haven't.
I don't know, but that sounds.
What are the actual numbers? You don't know.
Incredibly unlikely. Yeah.
Yeah. No, to me as well. And even to him, he thought the same thing. He was like, wow, like that doesn't make much sense. However, so anyways, point being is here in Germany, you're required, if not outside, but if you go to any business or whatever. So like I was in our version of the Home Depot we've talked about before, obviously, all my, sawing and woodworking stuff. And, so you have to wear one there. So I do have one. It feels weird to wear one though. I kind of like it now. For a couple of reasons. I do. I have to admit, I have a habit, which my wife and kids just adore in a weird way. I talk to myself a lot, like sort of like quietly under my breath, but I'm not even joking here. This is true. And so I'll be thinking about something and whatever, and let's just start working it out, you know, maybe a new bit for the podcast or something. And so I do talk to myself, and my wife catches me a lot and laughs. With the mask, I am golden. I can talk to myself whenever I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, 1-0 me, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then meanwhile, and this one is weird, there's a new little game I get to play thinking, I wonder if she's cute. That's what I'm looking at when I'm looking at people.
Okay.
Which, now that I'm saying it out loud, I can't be Biden's running mate. I think I just Me Too'd myself.
Yeah, I think so too.
In these days. Okay, ignore that. I don't play that game at all. I totally play that game. I'm like, yeah, based on what I'm seeing in that mask, probably cute. Or hot. Is hot better or is cute? Cute sounds weird? I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's a brave new world.
Yeah, I'm not getting into it with you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the support, Adam.
Yeah.
You watching the Bulls documentary?
Yes. Yeah, I've watched it.
So what do you about? We're like 4 episodes are out, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thoughts. What do you think about it?
Okay, so I am a basketball enthusiast. So this kind of period of time that they're doing the documentary, I probably saw 95% of the Bulls games through the late 80s to the mid 90s. Like, I was just a Michael Jordan freaking fanboy that every game that was televised from a Bulls perspective, I would watch. And I loved basketball. I still do, but that was the heyday of basketball for me. Now in the the modern day basketball. I'll watch the Raptors, I'll watch the playoffs, but I'm not nearly as sort of committed to watching the NBA in the last few years as I was back then. And so
that's
for
more
me,
of a reflection of you though than it is the NBA.
Yeah, I just don't have the time. That's the same with watching sports, period. I just don't have the time. But back then I did. And I love this documentary because I remember almost everything that they're talking about. And it's amazing how that information gets stored, never used, never thought about. And then when they bring it back, I can remember it all so vividly. And that's, to me, the beauty of good documentary filmmaking is that the thoughts, the attitudes coming from the players, everything, it fills in some of the gaps that you didn't know about, but it reminds
you
of a lot of... Or you forgot, but it fills in everything so nicely. And it also gives you perspective, like some of it, just looking at the players now, because, you know, they're filming obviously, you know, today interviews with the players that are current, and then going back and looking at the footage and behind the scenes stuff from the time, just how the players look and everything. I mean, it's just kind of gives you a perspective on age and everything, as far as looking at athletes and how they change, how their perspectives change, how their physical bodies change. It's mind blowing watching this documentary, because these are kind of like athletic gods in my mind: Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, all these guys. And then looking at them today, you're kind of like, oh man, like some of these guys don't look so great. They don't look like the legends that they were. And then
Michael
others
Jordan
do.
Looks good in a close-up.
He looks good in a close-up, but yeah, he's definitely, you know, you kind of like, man, how does Michael Jordan get a tummy now? Like that's not right.
See, the first couple episodes, I remember seeing him in close-up thinking, that dude did not age. And then you see the wide shot, you're like, oh, right. Yeah, he did.
But yet Scottie Pippen didn't age.
No.
You know, Dennis Rodman didn't age.
Well, Dennis Rodman kind of looked rough around the edges then, though.
Yeah, but he still looks like if he took his shirt off, he'd be in a calendar. Like he looks like that guy that, you know, body didn't age. Same with Scottie Pippen. He looks like he could play in the NBA now. And then you look at someone like Horace Grant, like his face is ballooned up. And then, like, you know, BJ Armstrong, who looked like he was 12 during the video, looks like maybe he's 19 now. Like it's Steve Kerr. Well, like
the name of the first coach who looked like he was 11 when he's coaching before, what's his name?
Collins.
Yeah. You look at him now, you're like, oh my God.
Well, that's the crazy thing, is some of them really aged so gracefully and some of them didn't. And so I don't know, my brain is doing all of these weird calculations, and it's very interesting. But the events that they're talking about, seeing the players talk so candidly, like there's, you know, F-bombs dropped about players, about other players, and they didn't like, and I love that. I love to know, oh yeah, like Michael Jordan really still hates Isaiah Thomas. Like he really hates him. And that's
there's
the
more
kind
of that
thing.
Story though.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But
no, they're not talking about, this is the thing. Like this is, so a couple points that I came away with was like I was not a basketball. I'm still not a basketball guy. I've never been a basketball guy. I appreciate the sport. I know it. It's not been my thing for whatever reason. However, I grew up in that era. So I graduated from high school in 1991, and so the Bulls were huge, sort of in my, you know, through junior high and into college, etc., which I didn't attend, but you get the idea. Point being, Jordan was a phenomenon. Like he not just in basketball, like he was a worldwide phenomenon, and if that was like, that was my first exposure to sort of, I mean, not just basketball, but life and society, et cetera, et cetera. That was my first realization of it all. So in my head, I don't think I appreciated how big of a phenomenon he was. Like, it was just like, well, yeah, we always have a phenomenon. You had Jordan and Gretzky at the same time. And it was like, yeah, well, life is always like this.
Right.
But it wasn't like that all the time. Those two guys, but specifically Jordan, because we're talking about him. Like, has there ever been anyone like him before or after on a global scale? Not just basketball, but a global scale.
Probably not.
No. I mean, yeah. Steph Curry's fantastic. Never.
No, LeBron James is probably the closest thing. And if you go through any sport, it's probably LeBron James.
Possibly, but he also, I mean, not to take away from him, but he has the added benefit of the, you know, the Instagram, the Twitter, like the whole craziness.
Yeah.
That didn't exist, man. Like Jordan was making inroads everywhere despite not having that. So anyway,
And the big thing about Jordan is he was sort of universally loved. Like you go to any country, anywhere, and you say, like, you know, how many people like Michael Jordan here? Not just how many people know who he is, how many people like Michael Jordan? And he would have been probably the most beloved sports character in history. Whereas LeBron James is probably, from a popularity standpoint, like nowhere remotely close. Everybody knows who he is. Globally, he's branded. But I bet you it's a 50-50 in that you either half the people love Michael Jordan and the other people hate him. And unless you're someone who lived in Detroit or Boston, like people that like basically hated Michael Jordan because he knocked their teams out, everyone else on the planet loved Michael Jordan.
It's funny because that, so the year that this is taking place, is the 97-98 season, right?
Yeah.
Or 97-98.
Yeah, 97-98. The championship is in 98.
So at that point, the Vancouver Grizzlies are in the league.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So one night, a friend of mine, her dad had box seats to the Vancouver Canucks. And so she took me one to the game one time, like one of those executive suite deals, right? Like he had like his company had a small share with a bunch of other companies, a bunch of businessmen had bought this box at GM Place. At the time, GM Place, now Rogers, right?
Sure.
So she took me to the game, happened to be the Blackhawks game, and the Bulls are in town the next night. And so we're sitting, there's in the box, like you can sit back in the box, or they have like, two to four rows of seats in your little box that you can walk down to, right?
Sure, yeah.
So I'm sitting there with her, we're watching the game, and there's a dude next to me who I do not know, and he's just one of the other, like probably a dentist who bought in on this, and he just leans over to me and just says, "Hey, do you know much about basketball?" And I said, "Well, no, not really, you know, but a little, but not really." And he just says, he points to the guy sitting like in the next box over, like four seats over, and he says, "Is that Michael Jordan?" And sure enough, I look over and I'm like, "Yes, that's Michael Jordan." He was sitting like four seats over and was like, "Yeah, that's him." And we go on with our day. Bulls were in town the next night. But word had started to spread throughout GM Place and the entire stadium. Like, what is it? Like 18,000 people?
Yeah, 18,000.
At one point, by the end of the first period, 18,000 people were turned, staring at Michael Jordan watching the game. Like the game would continue, the hockey game. They're just watching him do nothing, and he eventually became aware of it and just left. He's like, wow, I gotta go. Like and I was like, yeah, but I just love the fact that, hey, do you know about basketball? And I was like, do you know about life? Like everybody knows Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Everybody. So now the one thing with this doc, now I'm loving the doc because it also kind of hits, you know, there's the certain zeitgeist moment of, because I even worked at a sports store right around this, around the 92. So not this time, but earlier when Jordan was at the peak of his powers. And like 98% of what we sold at the home team was Bulls paraphernalia. Like everybody just wanted Bulls. Bulls parka, right. Bulls this, Bulls this. Like it was insane the number of stuff, like the Bulls hats that we would sell. All because of him. So it's kind of fun to watch. The one downside, I'm looking at this just thinking, there's stuff being left out though. And I was like, geez, what's going on? And it turns out, just to throw cold water on it, now I love it all still. I'm still going to continue watching. I think Jordan's one of the executive producers on this, which is not awesome.
Okay.
Which means everything's going to be a little bit tinted through Michael Jordan's shades.
Sure.
It's likely to happen. I know this happens. In fact, I even read today, Ken Burns, the documentarian from PBS, that said, you know, he even called it out. He said, "Yeah, that's a problem. You shouldn't. He can't. Subject can't be the producer."
I don't really have an issue with it, because if I look at basically what's transpired in the four episodes, is that it does. Even when you say that, I'm like, I'm fine with it. I mean, Jordan basically gets the last word, but everyone's perspective is being told. Like, it's not. True. It's been very fair. I would say if that is the case and Jordan is one of the producers, then he's done a really good job of kind of removing his bias. I mean, it's supposed to be biased. It's their story. It's the story of from within the locker room of essentially the key players, the coach, of what happened in that season to them. So the parts that the history parts are where you're getting all these opinions of other players, the historical parts. But for the most part, the camera's just tracking them. And so they're like any documentary, they're going to show the parts that they choose to show to tell their story.
They're doing better than most documentaries in that.
I think if Jordan does have a piece in all this, he's doing a great job.
He is. There'll be a couple of, there's been one issue so far. We'll talk off air, cause I don't want to talk about this on the show. There'll be one coming up that it'll get glossed over. But other than that, you're right. I mean, they are showing a lot of it, and the other guys are participating quite well in it. So anyways, that's not photo related.
No, 26 minutes of not photo related.
Thank you. Thank you for the reviews, by the way. A few people had actually given reviews, and I had not seen them yet because iTunes doesn't make it easy to see reviews from other countries. You can do it. It's just kind of a pain. And so I was trying to aggregate them earlier, and it just kind of worked and then didn't. So people who have given them and have since, we very much appreciate it. Very nice that people take the time to write nice things about me and not Adam.
Great.
Yeah. All right. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I just shot what I thought were going to be simple photos, so that there was that. And then, oh, you'll like this, like for Sarah and Jack's school, they're doing sort of computer school, like they get assignments on the computer and then they kind of submit them on an online portfolio system through the week. They occasionally have face chats with their class, but basically one of the challenges this week, and this is a school-wide challenge, was redo essentially a family photo. So they're sort of charged with the task of finding an old photo of themselves or of them their family, and then redoing that photo.
Oh, okay. And
so Jack, we haven't done Sarah's yet. I think we have till the weekend to do it. But Jack decided he wanted to do a photo that hangs in our living room of him catching a baseball, like when he was little. So he's kind of wide-eyed. Like I don't know if he's throwing it to his glove, basically. And so, but he's got a funny expression on his face and he's kind of wide-eyed. And anyway, so we redid that last night and it was kind of goofy because he's trying to reenact this photo. The ball's in the air, his mouth is wide open, his hands partly in front of his face. And so we tried to reenact it in a silly way and I think we accomplished it. So I could put that in the Dropbox for you. But that was essentially interesting because it's a fun thing. Like, I think we've done this in the past.
Did he redo it or like the parents are tasked with redoing the picture that he's
No. Either he can do it or there's no real rules on it. They wanted, I think their incentive or not their incentive, but I think the object was to kind of include the whole family in this. But
right.
Jack wanted to make sure he got one in and getting everybody at home the same time to reenact this just wasn't happening. And so he decided he just wanted to do this one. And so we did it. Some people are doing their own photos. Some people just with a sibling. Some people are doing the whole family. So anyways, I snapped the photo, but there's nothing more to it than he got in his baseball attire and tried to get in the right position for me to snap a similar photo.
That's funny. That sounds awesome. I shouldn't have said that because I was thinking about this all week, about an upcoming challenge. I was going through some old photos of my kids and thought, I think you and I should reshoot some, like from when our kids were like two, and reshoot them now.
Sure.
Exactly what you're describing. I think some of those could be funny. So your teachers are either geniuses or, you know, let's just go with that. We're both geniuses.
Genius. Let's go with geniuses, yeah.
Genii.
Okay.
Nice. All right. What did we do? Oh, we went back to the creek that we talked about last week, and shot a bunch more photos, but nothing new. But I brought the X100 this time, and so I snapped a photo of my daughter on her bike. And, you know, that's it. Riding around villages and in around Germany, and there she is on her bike.
Nice.
Plus the name of her bike. Oh, you can see on the back, there's the, on the back of her bike, on the rat trap there, is the boat that we take to the creek.
Okay. Yeah. I see it.
There you go. X100. Love it. Nice. Haven't said that in a couple of weeks, so had to sneak that in.
Bring it back.
That's it. All right. Photo challenge / monthly topic. This episode is our monthly challenge for April. Today being May 1st, May Day. And it was keep it simple because I like simple. So let's have a look at our listeners first.
Okay.
All right. How about you start? You pick one to talk about this time.
I just pick anyone? Like,
or, yeah.
I like the silhouette.
Oh, so we're going to go in random order.
Oh, you said pick one to talk about.
Yeah, I meant either the first or the last, and then we could work our way up.
Oh, okay. Starting with the first.
Or if you can keep track of all the ones that we've seen, there's 12 of them. Wait. There's only 12? And one of them's a double. One of them's two. I included it twice because it was the smoke machine, but is there really only 12?
Yes.
What else you doing?
I don't know. I think it's because you're talking too much about
Jordan.
Yeah, that nobody even heard that there was a photo challenge.
Yeah, possibly. All right, you pick one. If you keep track of all 12, then we'll go in your order. Go.
Okay, I'm gonna go with the silhouette because it's my favorite.
So you want to start with your favorite? You don't want to end on the favorite one?
No, we're starting strong here.
All right. This is my favorite one as well, so go ahead.
A silhouette with a sunset, and it's just the pose is perfect. The grass is perfect. It's a striking image. That's what I would say. They've added, I'm guessing, a bit of a gradient here, either via filter or in post, just to really darken the edges that possibly, actually, yeah. I'm guessing, I doubt that's natural in camera. But if it does, it is,
look a little bit like vignetting.
Yes. So, but it works great just because of the pose and that rounding. Like, it's fantastic. So, yeah. No criticism. It's a terrific photo. Go check it out. And that was by Pixelscaper, right?
Pixelscaper. Yeah. So she's giving out 2 minutes for interference here.
Sure. That's the referee call in hockey for anyone who's interested. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it is in football. I don't know what interference. It's like grab the face mask. No, that's face masking.
Seems like. Yeah, I don't know what it is either. So then next one.
You know what? I can't believe I did that. I'm way off.
It's holding, right?
No. What she's doing right there is a penalty shot.
Oh yeah, you're right.
And I'm sorry for getting this wrong.
Interference would be in front of your body. Of you. The act. Yeah.
You're holding your hands above your head. That's a penalty shot. Disappointed in me, dude. No, for me, what I like here is obviously the silhouette's great, the separation, the fact that you can see very little of her, except for, oh, I say her, it could be a him, I don't know, it could be a long, I'm guessing her, but you see enough to know that it's a her, and in my head, and then the colors, like the going from the blue through the oranges into the black. Really great use. I love where the horizon line is down there, the lower third. Well framed, all around great. And she's off. Like, look at the rule of thirds in this image, Adam.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much bang on.
Bang on. So it technically, this one's probably the rule of ninths if you work it out both in both planes. So well done. All right. Next up,
next one is DMAC, 14609.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of a landscape photo that I really like as well. It's the water's very calm, lends to a nice reflection. There's cool clouds and sky, and just yeah, it's a nice snapshot.
iPhone camera phone.
So it's an example of a good situation and good light and just a nice capture.
What he says there is the good light improves your odds of a pleasant photo, and I think that's been like the underlying theme of our show for almost 10 years now, coming up in 9.5 years. It's been, hey, find some good light, shoot that. And that's what DMACC 14609 did. I'm gonna have to decipher those numbers while you do the rest of the show.
Okay.
Figure out what that means.
What the code is.
Yeah, it's 14609, Jenny, something like that. I'm not sure. Anyways. Yeah, great photo. Love, obviously, I think what really makes this is the reflection. The reflection killed it. So I'm wondering if, you know, was this all in camera, or was this in order to get that, I mean, it's difficult to get the sky and the reflection to be the same exposure. So perhaps this was an in-camera HDR, or this was something that was done later in post. I don't know. What do you think?
Just in camera.
You think it's just in as is JPEG, or some magic?
No, I think it's as is.
I think there's some little bit behind the scenes going on there.
Okay.
All right. Next up, Adam.
Mike Roskopp.
Mm-hmm.
And his is a bird from the zoo, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a black and white, but it's almost entirely white.
I see no black. Black, white, and gray, really.
Well, the eye is black, I guess.
Dark, dark, dark gray.
Yeah. But it's weird. Like, no, it doesn't look right to my brain.
Okay, what doesn't look right?
I guess simplifying, but I'm not sure it's a simple photo. Like, it doesn't look like anything. It all just blends together.
But you knew what it was.
I had to look real hard to figure out what it was.
Really?
And I had to read the explanation. It's not clear to my brain what this is. So I think people should look at this photo, agree or disagree with me, but it's confusing to my brain. Black and white shouldn't look this way, in my opinion.
Now I'm going to try to look at it like without seeing the... Now I know what it is, so that's hard, but okay. I thought it was a bird, but you're right. I could see how it could be sort of abstract, but it makes you think about it. It makes you kind of either stick around and figure out what it is, or just leave, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. This was a twofer, by the way. So you can see the arrow there means there's another photo.
Okay.
He did this is the guy last week who did the building shot with the window washer in the one side. Remember the window washer?
Very symmetrical, except for the tiny bit that was asymmetrical.
So he went in and photoshopped that out and he included that. So you should go on, now that you're back on the Instagram, Adam, you should go back and check that out. He photoshopped that out and it actually looks excellent.
Okay.
So I'm going to give it a couple extra points on this week for doing that to last month's. I kind of like it. I like the very light tones of this. I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Next up.
David Wilkinson, the spider. It's a creepy looking photo of a spider on a white background.
Dead spider.
I don't like spiders, and so this photo.
I don't like spiders either.
I quickly move past this one because I'm like, yeah, it's just creepy to me.
Do you want to know something really strange? I hate spiders. Sure. I wouldn't say I'm scared of them. I'm scared adjacent. Like, I just don't like them.
Yes, that's how I am. Like, I will certainly have no problem when there is a big spider on the ceiling going and killing it. That's not a problem.
I'm not going to play with it though.
No. And if I saw a big spider like this, like even if it was someone's pet and they wanted to take it out, I'd be like, no, thank you. No, thank you. I'm not part of this.
First of all, I don't know that I would be friends with someone who had a pet spider.
That's probably true too. Yeah.
It's a self-selecting group. And you're like, all right, well, cool. Hey, do you have any snakes? What if you don't? What if you don't have pet snakes?
Right.
Or you just find other friends because. So, but here's the thing. This is where I'm kind of a hypocrite. My favorite superhero is Spider-Man.
Yeah, I also like Spider-Man, so I can't wrap my head around that.
Yeah, yeah. So there's that, and the other thing too is like when I went to Australia many years ago, like 18 years ago, that was one of the things I was like, hey, back then I really didn't like spiders. In fact, I was probably scared of spiders back then. But when you go to Australia, you got about 15 minutes to sort that out. Because guess what? A, they're big, they're deadly, and oh, they're everywhere. They're like, oh yeah, yeah, they live in your mouth when you're here. Don't even worry about it. Just pretend. Pretend. No, it's a funnel web. It's a funnel web. No, it's a Sydney funnel web. You'll be out walking. You won't even know. And then it'll grab on your leg, and then it'll be like getting pierced with 1,000 poison darts in under a second. No, they're everywhere, mate. No worries. Grab a Tui's new and move on with your day.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, should we even go? I know it's called Manly Beach, but I don't feel tremendously manly walking around here. So, you get over it pretty quickly. And that's just one. The funnel web is just one of the spiders. Like, there's a whole bunch of other ones. Like, the golden orb is huge, Adam. And you think you can break their web? You can't. You can't. It's a Kevlar. They have a Kevlar webs.
Okay.
So I don't know what David R. Wilkinson is doing posting this, knowing full well that you and I do not care for it.
Okay.
However, pretty well lit and whatnot, so
yeah.
Not bad. Like, well done. Well done. Well done, considering the subject matter that we don't approve of. So good job on that, on the background, etc.
Okay.
Okay. All right, next up.
An Airplane by Bob Bernal Jr.
Are they still flying, the airplanes?
I imagine there's some that have to. They're probably moving cargo. Probably not a lot of people planes, but cargo planes.
People got to be flying. I keep getting ads in my email for like one of the European, the cheap European ones. Like, EasyJet, come fly with us. I'm like, where? Where am I going? So,
right.
Yeah. Okay, I wish I hadn't said that out loud, but all right. This one, the best part is the hashtag leave Frank Pang alone. Let's be honest.
Okay, I like it. New Frank Pang supporter emerges.
We gotta make sure. I wonder if with Frank Pang's permission, which you'll have to seek out. He lives in your neighborhood, I think. We have to make t-shirts, right? Yeah, I think. Okay.
With just all the different Frank Pang hashtags?
Well, don't give it away. Otherwise, people will just make their own.
Right.
I mean, obviously we're going to cut Frank Pang in on the deal. He's going to wet his beak on this.
I like how they followed the hashtag Hey Hosers with the hashtag Leave Frank Pang Alone. Like, it's specific to us. I like that.
Yeah. I'm not leaving him alone. We're doubling down. It's pretty cool though, because I'm gonna take myself out of this one because I love airplanes and whatnot, and this is really kind of cool. This reminds me of hanging out like that one spot in Richmond where the planes land.
Mm-hmm.
At the airport there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'd be weird. So, what are your thoughts on this?
I like it. Nice blue sky, airplane going over some trees, which kind of makes it unique in that it could just be over a blue sky, which would still be a cool looking shot. But just the perspective looks cool because the trees and the plane, just from the direction it's shot, creates sort of a forced perspective where it looks like it's basically going right over them, like a dog jumping over a bush.
It's like that Caribbean island. What's the one you've seen the videos of that plane that lands on that island? Is it the Caribbean? Or Caribbean, I don't care. But, oh man, which is it? I think it's like a Dutch island or something like that. Where they basically land, like they basically touch down on the beach. Like you could throw a tennis ball up and hit the plane from the beach. I'll send you a link at this point. Now it's awkward, but
Okay.
Your point. The point is, yes, the trees, the bushes in this shot absolutely make this shot. Otherwise, it's just a close-up of an airplane, which is fine. But having it this, like, giving you some perspective of just how low this is really quite cool. Well done.
Yes.
All right, next up.
Next up is Mark's Berry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's uses the Nifty 50 to take a picture, sort of a macro close-up shot of...
Your move, too.
Is it?
Well, coming up, if you keep reading...
I missed the part. Oh, Pringles can. Oh, yeah, I missed that. I skipped right past that. With extension tubes and a Pringles can as on-camera flash. So, yeah, it's cool. It's, again, I don't love close-ups of bugs, but it is a cool-looking shot.
I agree. I'm but the fact that he's done this with, you know, $4 worth of equipment is extra impressive. I mean, not counting the actual camera, but the add on the extension tubes, not very expensive. The extension tubes probably cost as much as the Pringles. I don't know. Do they?
I don't know. I don't have any.
I've never actually purchased a can of Pringles in my life, so I don't know.
I have purchased the Pringles, just never have I purchased an extension tube.
Okay. I'm going to say they're probably around the same price. And so, not very expensive. So, For very, very little money, this is a really cool photo that, like Adam, I don't care about because I don't care about close-ups of insects either. Now, full credit to Mark's Berry, though, these appear to still be living, which is a plus.
Sure.
Unlike David the Butcher, who killed that spider.
Right.
Okay, I think the spider died of natural causes, according to him, but... We'll see. We'll see what the CSI people say.
Yeah.
Lovely. Great use of yellow in this with the contrasting with the ants.
Yeah.
Do you know what ants are called in German?
No.
Ameisen.
Okay. Good to know.
No, not really. Not really good to know, but now you know.
Yeah.
All right. Next up.
This is JC Russo with a lovely picture of a flower, close up of a
flower. What makes this lovely, Adam? Because I agree with you. I agree with you. What is it that makes it lovely?
I think it's the background bokeh is fantastic.
Are we on the same page, Adam? Because, okay, first of all, just to go credit, he also uses a extension tube. So there you go. But I was looking at this picture thinking, I really like this. I could care less about flowers in particular, much like insects. What is it that makes this lovely? To me, it was the background.
Yeah, the background bokeh is amazing, but it's also the flower and the composition is very symmetrical, which is also pleasing because it's a very asymmetrical subject that he's managed to convey in a very symmetrical form. So that part is cool, but the bokeh is so nice in this image. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not just the bokeh, but the color, like the offset of the colors in the background, where they all kind of blend together. There's no hot spots, nothing too bright coming in. Very well done in the exposure. Like the background exposure is just, it's just dark enough to really accentuate the otherwise boring flower.
Agreed.
Okay, came in a little hot there with the boring part, but that's just me. That's my own personal.
No, I took. He spiced it up. He took a subject that would have otherwise been boring and really spiced it up.
That's what I'm saying. Is I to go back to the aforementioned Michael Jordan. It's relatively easy to be a very successful individual if you're Michael Jordan, like if you have the skills of Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, if you're, for example,
John Paxson,
it's even more impressive that you do that. So there you go, JC. All right. Next up.
This would be the man, Frank Pang, 97.
The myth, the legend.
Yeah.
He might be number 97 in your program, Adam. He's number one in your hearts.
Yeah. He's got his TV table or end table with glasses, a remote, and his coffee mug, and some cool shadows. And again, I think Frank has really taken an otherwise sort of ordinary subject and really made it interesting. This is a good photo. I like this.
I don't like the surprise in your voice, but yes, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I how deep do you want to dive on this? Because there's a lot to unpack here.
Frank has don't, nailed not deep. I want to go shallow. I want to go very shallow.
Frank has done a great job of basically illustrating what it is that he's doing during this pandemic. He even hashtagged it. Well, hashtag I am Frank Pang. Awesome. But hashtag binge watching. I mean, that's what a lot of people are doing. And but so there's a lot going on here. Could have photographed this in the middle of the day when the light was crappy. But no, this is fantastic light. We've got the white. I for some reason I'm a sucker for white coffee mugs in cool light. Did he wait and take a pristine one? No. This is game worn. Game worn coffee mug by Frank Pang.
Mm-hmm.
You look at that.
I think Frank might have a bit of a sloppy mouth drinking coffee.
He's gonna need to hone his craft. I won't lie to you. But I will say this. There's more on the outside than the inside. If you can look now, I will say this. I full solidarity. That is my move, Frank. I am all over the map when it comes to this too. So this looks like my coffee mugs when I'm in the not even done. When I'm in the middle. So a lot going on here. We got and you know what I do appreciate in his end table there is. There's a knot. There's a knot in the grain. I love that. I love that we have an imperfection like that. That's I don't know if he chose to accentuate that or not, but here we are. Love the long shadows. Love the contrast. There's one thing that stands out here that's terrible, and it's not even Frank Pang's fault.
What's that?
Well, okay. So everybody has a remote, a TV remote, TV, stereo, DVR, whatever it is, that you have a remote like this, correct?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
In the history of ever, have you ever seen a good-looking remote, an aesthetically pleasing, well-designed remote?
No.
They don't exist. So it's not Frank's fault. I'm just saying that from a design perspective, the remote world is lacking 100%. Now, I appreciate it being in here. It's showing what he's doing, but that is an eyesore. And hey, Element, get it together. Somebody somebody come out with a good-looking a remote that you wouldn't be embarrassed to leave. Like you'd be forget it. Forget that joke. That's for another time. Okay, moving on.
Okay.
Do we already do David Williams? No.
No. This one's okay, good too. I like this one.
Yes. Go.
Is a shout out to Frank.
Mm-hmm.
So
I assume
this well, it's a pretty hit you over the head kind of Frank Pang shout out. This is a photo that has a title, so it's a teenage girl with a pitchfork, and it's like meant to be, I guess.
What did
sort
she
of
do?
A book title, and it says that she looks mean. She might be evil. It's got a movie poster, Adam. It's got some cool lighting, and it says, "Oh, sorry, movie poster." But I guess it could be a book. Maybe they made the movie after the book. Its title is "The Pangs of Guilt."
Yes,
a frank and disturbing tale. So this is a definite Frank Pang shoutout. Otherwise,
are you worried? Crazy coincidence.
There's been
more fan fiction about Frank Pang than us, the actual guys who have the show?
No, I like it.
I appreciate it. I'm just saying it's a little bit weird. I'm okay with it. I prefer it. I prefer Frank to be the out front guy.
Yeah. No, this is good. And the photo is well done. It's a well done shot that really looks like it could be a movie poster or the cover of a book. And the font.
You're right. It's more of a book cover to me.
Yeah. And everything done well on a photo standpoint, and just an added bonus of that title.
I don't even hate the font. Like that, the font is what tells me it's a book. Actually,
yeah, that's kind of where
an early copy of what was that? What was that one I'm thinking of?
The Handmaid's Tale, or
no? Yeah, I was thinking of Margaret Atwood. No, it's Surfacing. Surfacing was the one I was thinking of.
Okay,
come on. What you? No, the what's the one with Truman Capote, In Cold Blood?
Okay,
that's where I went with this. Was the In Cold Blood cover of an older version that I have. So well done. Yeah, this is great. I love the negative space on the left side, like it at the left top left, especially. And the lighting is fantastic with on the hair lights and whatnot. And it is frank and also disturbing. So
sure,
yeah, it's well done. All right, getting to the end. Three more, buddy. Which one's next?
This is the Lounge Chairs by Roger Dahlman.
I'm pretty sure I bought this picture at IKEA.
You might have, but then you decided to not buy their racks.
It's back in the day I bought this. Not now. Now I can do better than IKEA, but come on.
Okay, yeah, this is interesting. I like this.
Yeah. Because?
It's symmetrical. It's sort of like, I don't know, if you stare at it, your brain feels like it might have just taken a contraband substance. It's sort of one of those, everything starts to blend together. It's sort of a little trippy. It's a trippy feeling when you look at this photo. And it's interesting in that you could have had one more chair in there and it could have been perfectly symmetrical, but then there's a missing chair in the front right corner, which feels odd, but yet is cool at the same time.
I think that's for Elijah.
Oh, okay. I didn't read the write-up, but...
No, I just assumed we need to read... never mind.
Forget it. I thought he made. I get what you're saying. I just thought he might have written up. There's a reason why there was a missing chair, but now I'm looking at it and it doesn't say. Yeah,
it's making a. I'm gonna say Yom Kippur. I'm not that smart. What is the? When do you leave a chair out for Elijah?
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's is it? Wait, Rosh Hashanah. I think it's Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, let's not. What am I, a scholar? Did I read the Talmud? Come on.
It's a cool photo.
All right. Yes, it is. It is a very cool photo. My one, the only thing, so I love all the lines. We have the lines all going in the same direction, which is nice. Otherwise, I wouldn't sleep tonight. Thank you, Roger. Although I'm guessing you didn't set them in position. The only thing that I wouldn't mind here is it to be like sort of like at a, like a afternoon, like a... like a sunny afternoon with the shadows casting even more lines would be great. This looks like more of a cloudy afternoon.
Yeah, it's pretty flat light.
Yeah, so it's his flat light. If this were to be hard light, I think you would buy this at IKEA. They'd be selling large versions of this. But really well done. Good choice. Because they're probably not black and white chairs. I'm guessing they're blue and white. That's my guess. But they look better in black and white.
Agreed.
All right. Oh, see, there's David Williams, the double up. But he did this because he bought the fog machine. I'm not talking about this one.
Okay.
Just go check it out. You're on. Yeah, good for you, too. All right, last one.
It is of a girl. It's by My Heart All.
New York Heart All, I'm guessing.
Oh, sorry. My brain didn't read that very well. New York Heart All. Looks like a... I don't know. Is this cropped? It shows that there's probably a second image, but it shows a girl. It's
also cropped, though. Almost the same photo.
Okay. So I'm looking at sort of a portion of a girl's face, and she's got her finger touching her face, mm-hmm. and then it's kind of a blurred background. You can see she's got a tattoo sort of on her upper chest shoulder, and I don't know. It's interesting. It's simple. Sure. It looks like window light.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about the exposure. I feel like I could see a little bit more, or maybe she could be moved slightly closer
to the light. This is an ad for H&M or something. You walk by H&M, you're going to try on some pants.
Okay.
Yeah. So there you go.
Sure.
All right. Let's have a look at ours. Thank you to everybody for submitting. We appreciate it. Now let's have a look at ours. We'll go with you first, of course.
Sure.
Mine, so here's your wife down at Gary Point.
Yeah, she's down perched on a log, tried to this was last night at, of course, the last possible minute to do my photo challenge. And I said, "Up, go sit down on one of those logs." And she picked one that was kind of perched up higher than the others, which I thought was perfect. And then I snapped a photo. There's nothing more to this. This was basically just a point and shoot.
With what camera, what lens?
This is the 60 and 85 millimeter lens.
Okay, so there is more to this than you just said, that's all it is. No, there is a little bit more to this. This is not an angle that you normally shoot.
No, I went up higher and got sort of a looking more down perspective, which I almost never do. But right. That was more because I wanted to keep the background kind of more uniform. If I shot this level, mm-hmm. there's all kinds of different things in the background and potentially people and sky and trees and grass and maybe cars. And I thought I want to keep it all simple in that it's all sort of like, you know, just the logs and the beach kind of background. And right. so in order to do that, I had to get a higher elevation so that I could make that my background. So that was the one thing I basically decided, okay, I want the background to be simple. And in order to do that, I had to change my angle or my perspective.
But I do like this. That's what struck me immediately. It was like, wow, this is a picture that not only do you not shoot, neither do I. I typically don't do that. I try to include the cool looking sky, the clouds, the background, or like, because this is an amazing background. Like if you were to just kind of be on her level, you're going to see Stevenson in the background, correct?
Right. Yeah.
You know, so to your right is the ocean / river where it meets. And so that yeah. means Stevenson's in the background, very cool looking. So you typically try to shoot that rather than simplify the background, which you did in this case. And I'm actually like, I appreciate that. And I think, you know, might do it more myself.
Okay.
So there you go. So even though it is a complicated background, it's complicated in its simplicity. Wham, mic drop, profound. It is complicated, but a bunch of the same thing complicating it and then thrown out of focus and not crazy exposure. Thus, it is simplified.
Right.
So this could be complicated. You didn't. Nailed it.
Thanks.
Does your wife like it?
She hasn't seen it. Like I said, did it last night and put it in the Dropbox minutes before we started. So no,
and you have an alternate. What was the alternate? Why did you post that one?
I just showed like minutes later. I just showed, okay, well, like here's how different the light looked from a different angle. So mm-hmm. I showed her, that was kind of like the sun was slightly behind the clouds. So it was kind of a much more soft and even light. And mm-hmm. then about, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes later, we changed perspectives. The sun creeped out from behind the clouds. I positioned her in a different spot and you can see, you know, how bright and dark. And I mean, the light is, she's in a spot where the light's completely on her. I'm still shooting down for kind of a simple perspective. It's more of a rocks perspective than the you know, the logs. But it's not as nice. The light on her is really good, but then the background becomes so much more distracting.
Indeed. Good photo, but not really simple.
Yeah, not simple. I don't like simple. It. Yeah, I didn't like it as, I just wanted to show like, because you can see kind of where we were just a little bit in behind us. We just moved from that to that and then the sun came out. And then even though actually taking the photo was simple, again, it's a point and click. The photo does not, it doesn't resonate simple with me.
True. You're right.
Okay.
Okay. Here's mine. Here's my son.
Now yours is the one where he's blowing the dandelion.
Indeed.
Yeah, simple.
So we talked about the fact that I am so anti-dandelion in my yard, yet my son is out there blowing them. So I'm kind of a hypocrite on this one.
I like that his shirt meshes nicely with the background. You've got, you know, the grass and the dandelions, kind of the greens and yellows, and then his shirt happens to be bright yellow with green lettering. So that works perfect with the background.
I'm looking to get an adult version of that shirt.
Okay.
Although I did buy that. I did buy that in 1980. That's my elementary school gym clothes.
Nice.
Yeah. So of course I probably wore it when I was 9 and he's 6 and he's about to outgrow it. But yeah. Anyways, yes, that was he was wearing it and I thought, oh, this is gonna be great. Like let's go find, you know, we're gonna go to the field with all the flowers in it. and that'll blend in nicely.
Well, good job. It looks good.
Okay. Well, this is very simple. I mean, this is lit. I brought a hard light because with kids you can do that. Just an off camera hard light with a half CTO on it, which sounds complicated, but it was already on there, so technically very simple. Just brought it out. The 5D Mark III with the 24-105, which I hate to say, I'm kind of falling in love with that lens, Adam.
Okay.
It's kind of becoming my go-to lens for a lot of things now, which the snob in me says you can't do it, but I love it. And yeah, so that was it. So basically kind of underexposed the background, fired off the flash, and that's it. I did cheat a little bit. I'm gonna come out and say it. I wanted, there was quite a number of those little things flying around. I wanted more. So I took the ones on the left side and cloned them to the right side.
Okay.
So ones on the very top right. So I will say about, I added 20% to it.
Gotcha.
But you see, I doubled them. I took them off from the left side. I flipped it, like flipped the negative, like flipped it horizontally, and then cloned them in there. On the right hand side, just to kind of even it out, so he's blowing all of those. Otherwise, it was actually very simple. We're done really quickly. I included a couple of other just the in between shots of him getting ready, because he just kind of looking around, having fun with it, and just a couple more shots of him.
Okay, no,
you can see the shadow on his shirt there.
Right. Yes.
Which is, it's okay.
Yeah, makes it more obvious that there was some tactics, whereas I didn't realize there was artificial light in the challenge photo.
All right. Well, there you go. Yeah, like I said, fall in love with that lens. I'm going to use it a lot more. Hate to say it. Don't tell anybody. All right. And the one thing I was going to mention, it was supposed to be my daughter this week. She was all geared up to be in the photo. But right when we went out, she just had a giant, what's the technical term, hissy fit?
Meltdown,
and just did not want to do it. So my son stepped in and said, "I got this, Dad. I'll help you out."
Good job, Sam.
All right. Challenge for next month, the month of May. I got one. Three little letters, one word. You ready?
Yeah.
Art.
Okay.
Do something art.
Okay.
Okay. Hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers. Tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram, and we'll talk about that one at the end of the month. Challenge for next week, Adam. Also three letters. Can you believe it?
No.
Fun.
Okay.
Have some fun. Photo of fun. Maybe you're having fun. I don't care. It should be fun. You and I will have fun for next week. And there you go. Adam, websites. Where can they go to find yours?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com, the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.